We'll call the meeting to order and we'll stand and do the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve minutes?
I'll move.
Second? Okay. Any comments? Changes?
Good to me.
Good to you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay. Passed unanimously. Okay. Here's. Thank you. Okay, so we'll turn the meeting over to Ken Cornell and Amanda LaBeouf.
You know what? Since you have some new legislators here and some things, I thought we might just do a quick introduction so everybody knows everybody.
Good thinking.
So I saw Jonathan Hebner, County Legislator for District 23, Woodstock, and parts of Hurley.
Kathy Nolan, Legislator-Elect for District 22, Olive, Shendake, and Denning, and Hardenburg.
Brian Waltman, Legislator-Elect, District 7, City of Kingston.
Joe Maloney, District 2, to the Saugerties, Barkley Heights, the Village, and a little bit of Malden.
Manager Green, District 17, no, District 19, sorry, Rosendale and part of Marbletown.
Brown Lab, District 21, Rochester, Warson.
Fondi Antillo, one of the deputy clerks.
And Mary Warrow, legislator from Saugerties. Okay.
You want to do resolutions first? Do resolutions.
Sure.
Would you mind, Mary?
Sure, no problem.
Thank you.
Okay. We have resolution 445 designating the Ulster County Department of the Environment as the county's water quality management agency pursuant of New York State County Law Article 5, 2020A.
I'll move.
Would you like to move it?
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, we'll take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 459, confirming reappointment of member and alternate member to the Fish and Wildlife Board.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
No, I just know this gentleman. He's a really great guy.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Loader.
Okay, any discussion? Other than that? No? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried. Resolution 502, authorizing the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant agreement with New York Department of Environmental Conservation for the Ashokan Rail Trail Project.
Mr. White is here if you have any questions.
Okay. Someone move it?
I'll move.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? No? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carried. Okay, there we
just
go.
Just don't forget to sign that.
Oh, thank you. Okay, Ken.
Great. Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening, almost, right? A couple of things tonight. I know that we had talked at the last meeting about some of the work we've done with our green fleet policy and how we've implemented that. And I invited Amanda LaBeouf and Nick Vazda, who's the new deputy coordinator of the environment, to join us today to give an update to the committee on the green fleet policy. And then we do have a new all-electric Nissan Leaf in our fleet. And we have that downstairs. If any of the members of the committee want to drive that, we can arrange for that after the meeting.
Great.
We have some material that I don't know if we have enough for everyone in the room, but we can certainly start with the committee members. Now that I gave away.
Thank you.
We've been working with some really good success on implementation of the green fleet policy across the county government fleet. And we're going to share a couple of highlights for you. And This is kind of in addition to the annual Green Suite report, and I'm hoping that folks have had an opportunity to see that report. It's also available on the website, and that really gets into the bigger snapshot of looking at fuel efficiency across the fleet, but we just brought some kind of things to share with you, particularly focused on the green vehicles in the fleet right now and how they're performing and how we're tracking them. So on the first set of slides.
Just because it's a little. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's a little hard to talk to your backs.
Yes.
So the first is that we right now have 7 plug-in hybrids and 1 battery electric vehicle deployed in the fleet. And we track them in many different ways, both the miles that they're driven, the number of charging sessions that each of them accounts for, the gallons of gas that they use, as well as the electricity that they require, because these are vehicles that are also plugging in at the charging station network, in addition to, with the exception of the all-electric Leaf, they still have an internal combustion engine, so they are still consuming some gas. They vary in kind of the departments that they've been deployed in, and we have 2 different models of cars. There are 2 different makes and models of cars that we're using. We're using a Ford Fusion Energy plug-in hybrid, and we're also using the Chevy Volt. The Ford Fusion Energy has an all-electric range of approximately 22 miles. And that's kind of an indication of how big the battery is in that car, just the battery. The Volt has a range which is closer to 50 miles all electric before it kicks into a hybrid, and that it has a much larger battery in that car. Both of these cars, once they've depleted the all electric battery, they kind of become a regular hybrid electric vehicle, meaning that the engine will turn off when it's idling. It will still charge the electric battery, when you're going down the hill. It uses regenerative braking in order to do that. So it's still operating very efficiently, even when it's not operating just off its battery. So the first one, just to kind of dive into the graphs, it's actually the second page of the packet, and it's this one. It's a stacked bar chart with green and blue, and it says a fleet EV and PHEV use, energy use. So these are that's our internal inventory vehicle number.
Okay. Because of the pilot nature of this, we're going closely tracking the fuel usage to understand we're going to get value out of them.
So did you want any other explanation on that? That's just
no. I thought that's what it was, but I just wanted to clarify it.
Okay. So on the second page, the stacked bar chart with the green and blue, we're looking at the 7 plug-ins and the battery electric. Exactly how much fuel and electric they've used. Of course, the Leaf just uses electric, and that's why you only see green in that bar chart. So this kind of gives you an indication of how much they're running off the internal combustion engine. That would be the fuel, and then how much they're running off solely the battery. So kind of the take home here is that the vehicles, the 2 in the health department, are being used by sanitarians, the Volts. And it seems like a really good fit for the type of work that they're doing because they're able to utilize that battery, so much of it. And again, the Volts have a bigger battery range in that model of car than the Fusion Energies.
Just interrupt, just anecdotally, I can tell you that one of the sanitarians who primarily works in Kingston has told me that he'll take the vehicle out and the gasoline engine doesn't even turn on. Right. I mean, it's all electric driving. Yep. It's all in-city use.
Exactly, and that's a great thing. So on the back of that page, if you continue through the pack, there's just green only, and it says PHEV green, a fleet gasoline only fuel efficiency. So what we did here was we said, okay,
let's not even think about the energy of the electricity, which it's definitely something that you in other metrics you consider, but let's just look at the miles that these cars are driven overall and how much gasoline is required to do that, or how much gasoline they've used. So you're seeing, again, the fusion energies have the smaller battery, but even so, they're right around, they're holding at or below 40 miles per gallon. And then you look at the volts with the larger batteries being used in a different way, maybe by the sanitarians, and they're ranging from above 70 miles per gallon to about 115 miles per gallon in the health department. So that is, like, I'm going to show you how, in the next page, how much of an improvement that is over the traditional passenger vehicles. So the next slide, it says green fleet efficiency. The first slide with the more kind of olive drabby color that says UC Fleet 2016, this is a snapshot from the Green Fleet Report, where we were starting to look at the type of vehicle in the fleet and the overall efficiency. The thing I want to highlight there is where you see passenger, and underneath it says 129. So that's 129 vehicles out of the approximately 420 vehicles in the fleet are passenger cars. And overall, the fleet efficiency of those is under 20 miles per gallon. And this is 2016. The plug-in hybrids, which we were just starting to use last year, so we had limited data on. When you consider both the unleaded fuel and the electricity, we have a way of kind of converting them together, and it's called MPGE. So we're looking at both those forms of energy, averaging somewhere around 50 miles per gallon. And again, now that we're seeing greater deployment and more use, and we have more data on the plug-in hybrids, we're seeing, you know, when you look at just the gas, that these things are going all the way up to like 115 miles per gallon. So coming from, you're really, like, the scale doesn't even accommodate that on the left-hand side here, because it only goes from 0 to 60. So we're seeing just incredible gains in fuel efficiency by going plug-in hybrid. And that's the lower half of the slide is, again, the same data, but it's taking the gas and electric together to make this MPGE metric, and, again, we're seeing incredible gains, where even the low end is 40, and although that might not seem like a lot, it's still twice as efficient as the fleet average for passenger cars. And on the high end with the Leaf, we're up over what would be 140 miles per gallon. A little update on EVSE is shorthand for electric vehicle service equipment. And it refers to pretty much anything charging station related. We have 9 existing stations. We have 6 which are going to be installed very shortly. A bunch that have to be installed by the end of the year. So we're working on that. 2 at Social Services, 2 at Golden Hill, 1 at SUNY Ulster at the Stone Ridge campus, and 1 closer to the car building, 1 Pearl Street, so part of the county office building complex, but one that will primarily serve the fleet vehicles, opening up the charger immediately downstairs here for more public use. The following slide, EV charging sessions. This is to just give you a snapshot of where we're seeing where people are charging at those stations. So we have 2 really high usage chargers, and that's at the courthouse and at Golden Hill. But at Golden Hill, more than half of those charging sessions are fleet vehicles, because that's where quite a few of the cars that have been deployed to the health department, they live up there. But the courthouse, we've seen a lot of public use on that, as well as the county office building. I'm sure that folks are used to walking past cars charging downstairs at the office building here.
We're going ahead and moving ahead with all the purchasing more vehicles. We have quite a few. We're going to be doing some more plug-in hybrids to the health department and to, to public defenders, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And right now, there's quite a few different models on the market. We're always looking at kind of what the vehicle is, kind of the different rebates or incentive money that's available, as well as how efficient, like what's the electric range, and what's the overall efficiency of the vehicle.
Yeah, it's actually interesting that the first vehicle on this, the Chrysler Pacifica, that's equivalent to a minivan. And we use quite a few of those vehicles at the Department of Social mm-hmm. Services to transport children. So yeah. Instead of buying minivans this year, we'll be going with the Chrysler Pacifica.
Yeah.
Because it's a plug-in hybrid and it has the capacity. So we're excited to try that and see how that works in the fleet. Yeah. And also, the budget that you just approved includes a demonstration to do 10 leased vehicles. Because, you know, we're weighing... the longevity of the batteries in these cars. It's very new technology. It's changing very quickly. So we're going to do a lease for 10 cars. We're looking at I think we're looking at plug-in Priuses, I believe.
I think the purchase is for the plug-in Prius, and I think the
oh, sorry,
the Pacifica.
I have it backwards. So that was something you just approved in the budget. So you'll see. You're going to see kind of a large jump in the number of plug-in vehicles in the fleet, and that's why the six new stations are going in as well, too. So.
Yeah, to accommodate that. Then the last slide is kind of a snapshot of the energy usage at the charging stations. As there's more vehicles in our fleet and as... just more EVs on the road. I think last year we had overall for the calendar year 2016, we had about 1,300 charging sessions. Looks like we're going to be closer to 2,500 this year. That it's about, I would say, like over 30% is fleet usage. It's about a little more than a third. So it corresponds to more energy being, deployed, distributed through the charging stations. But they're definitely getting more use. And, we think our plan as far as where the new stations are going to go is going to give us a lot of flexibility for the fleet vehicles, for, like, the minivans at DSS, for additional vehicles up at the health department. But then, also allowing public charging for the other locations as well. I'm happy if anyone has any questions.
Mary, I just want to remind you, at one of our meetings, someone had raised the question about where we were in relation to the resolution that the legislature passed on a green fleet policy. Mm-hmm. And I think I know the answer to it, but I just thought we might want to...
Yeah, I know that with our current purchasing plans, mm-hmm. we exceed the goal that was set for the 2020 goal. We've exceeded it already. So next session, we might want to talk about increasing the goal.
Making
in the policy.
A new goal,
Yeah. So, and mm-hmm. certainly we can make some recommendations on the right number for that. So
have more information now, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions, anyone?
If you could just kind of highlight it. I thought it was interesting, and it makes total sense about the vans and social services and the needs and wants of different agencies. And also, I'm sure you guys track just the total mileages mm-hmm. per agency. I mean, I'm just kind of curious what your method is to assigning these new. How do you move cars around? Choose where the greater needs is. Mainly based on miles driven by that agency?
There's also a reimbursement component. We're mm-hmm. also looking to maximize the outside reimbursement that pays for our cars mm-hmm. and reduce the county share. So you tend to DSS has a very high reimbursement for vehicles,
okay.
and you'll find that a lot of cars are purchased using our reimbursements and social services, mm-hmm. and then they're phased into other parts of the fleet you know, when we can buy more, and it's always looking to reduce the impact on the tax levy.
Okay.
It's part of this as well, too.
All right, cool.
And actually, one of the other bonuses of going with a lease model is that, and if the federal tax credit for electric vehicles survives,
mm-hmm.
That the leasing, they're able to benefit from that,
okay.
Which the county, when we purchase a vehicle, we cannot. And even though this column here that says DEC rebate mm-hmm. is only accessible to a municipality, like the Pacifica was, I think, close to the full federal tax credit, which is 75. You know what? I don't know what. Mm-hmm. But this, even though we wouldn't get this through the lease model,
mm-hmm.
There's a federal income tax credit, which is potentially available to the company that owns the vehicles that we're leasing from. And either the New York State, the NYSERDA rebate would also be, they'd be eligible for that. So we look at that. We're looking at, you know, where we have the infrastructure, where we have the plugs, where the plugs are planning to go, and kind of what's a good fit for the type of driving also. A department who might have to do a lot of highway driving.
For example, you'll notice there's one Ford Fusion Energy at the health department mm-hmm. where the electric Fusion doesn't compare to others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they're using it for administrative functions. So we've just made the change where
right.
one of the sanitarians are going to start taking that
right.
vehicle, and they're going to swap some things around. It was only looking to maximize the, you know, the benefit on the fuel efficiency. So
yeah. Sounds good.
That's why this kind of snapshot and always looking at the data
right.
helps us make
it's
those
really
decisions.
Allowed us to have very, you know, really good conversations about, like, what functions work well, where isn't it working well, how can we move things around to, you know, make sure that they're all high performers and all appropriately used for what they're going to benefit us.
Yeah. For example, also, too, like, you know, we do have this all-electric Nissan Leaf that you're going to be able to see and drive in a little bit. That vehicle, again, it's I don't know that we have the infrastructure to support a lot more of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And as you'll understand, when you kind of think about the type of charging stations we have, their level 2 charging station, I compare it to like a trickle charger. Anyone that's ever charged a car battery, it's a trickle
mm-hmm.
charger, whereas the Nissan Leaf will accept a fast charging that will
mm-hmm.
charge the vehicle in 20 minutes. We don't have a fast charger. It's a very
right.
expensive piece of equipment, but yeah, until we have some of the higher level equipment, we're not
right.
going to really invest. Again, I'm aware of other governments that, you know, want to get involved in, you know, green fleet and this type of thing, where they go out and buy a lot of or several all electric vehicles, and they realize that they sit. We constantly have to monitor
right.
it. Current all electric vehicle we have is being used by the Department of the Environment, which has the sensibility to know. Here's the travel needs the next couple of days. Let's make sure we plug it in. You know, again, they're very
right.
sensitive and,
right.
you know, acclimated to really do it well. And, again, I don't know that that type of vehicle would work right now for the rest of our fleet, whereas the plug-in hybrids seem to be the way to go.
And I think the Volts also serve as a good example that where the battery size is properly suited to the type of work being done and they can be driven like a large percentage of time off the battery, like OFA or the health department, those are very efficient cars. And at the same time, you have an internal combustion engine, so you don't have to worry about being kind of stranded on the road. There's always that backup of going to the internal combustion. So I think until the range, you know, is easily, you know, 250 miles
yeah.
on an appropriately priced all-electric vehicle, you know.
And there's more charging stations.
And there's more charging stations.
And different types of charging stations.
Yeah.
Now, does a traditional lease has mileage limits? Does that come into play with this also?
I'm sure that, I'm sure the fleet manager would
yeah,
be very... very aware of anything like
right.
that.
But it
you know,
is
but
still, but I was just asking, it's but it is part
I'm
of it?
Not sure.
Yeah, they're,
okay.
they're structured for governmental use.
Yeah.
And there's a, it's not quite the same as a
traditional lease.
Yeah, but in fact, I believe the bid's just going out for that now. And again, it's something we still have to procure in a normal fashion with parameters that we'll set.
Great.
So.
Mana?
I just want to congratulate you because this is really good work.
want to express my appreciation for really taking leadership in the region around this. And since I complain when I disagree with something, I think I ought to acknowledge that this is really good work.
Well, thanks, Ben. I appreciate
that. I do have one question about the buses, and I think I remember this coming up before, and I think it's coming up on Public Works. I think they're about to do a purchase. And it seems to me that so far we can't really add EV or hybrid to...
We have six large hybrid buses in our fleet right now.
What kind?
Hybrid buses.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
We do.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, they haven't been successful. They were purchased, I think, in 2008. I believe they're almost reaching their useful life. Mm-hmm. They mostly are doing highway driving, and as you know, it's not the right type of driving.
Yeah.
You know, and quite frankly, there's been a lot of conversation about UCAT assuming the City of Kingston system. Now, a hybrid bus is perfectly suited for in-city driving. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So some of those conversations as part of if that transition were to go forward. Mm-hmm. Those buses are a slam dunk doing city-type driving. Mm-hmm. They're just not effective doing the run from Kingston to Allenville, five times a day. Just it's not the right vehicle for the job. We are exploring. We do have, if you notice, we've done a lot of work in that fleet where we have dramatic, we don't buy the same old buses. Back in the day, they'd always buy those very large, 40-plus foot buses. We buy smaller buses now that are sized for the usage. The good news is actually the bid that you're looking at coming up, it's for a little bit larger bus because our system has grown so much. I mean, we've grown from a 250,000 ridership system to almost 500,000 annually because of the route changes that we've made. So we actually need some little bit larger buses, but we're still buying, we're not buying the traditional, super-sized bus that you see. So it's about reducing the use of the fuel. We also burn exclusively biodiesel in all of the UCAT buses, which has done a great job in reducing the emissions. We do have some issues in the deepest part of the winter where we might switch back to regular diesel because there's a gelling problem with biodiesel where it can't handle the cold temperatures, or at least the mix. We've not quite got the mix right, but that's been a great initiative, and that's been ongoing. And we're not quite to the stage of the game yet for an all-electric, fleet bus, but certainly we're looking at all the options as they come forward. Yep. But we do have six hybrid buses in the fleet right now, Mana. And again, most of the driving we do isn't appropriate for that type of technology.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. So do you want us to do your test now?
Whatever you want to do.
Whatever you want. Should we finish any other business we have, and then we can go from after the
Climate Smart probably.
Yes.
Old business.
Yep. So does the Climate Smart Committee have an update?
Yeah, I'll talk on that because I chaired in Legislator Green's absence this month. It was a pretty normal meeting. The towns gave their updates. Different towns are working on various different things. For example, Woodstock and Saugerties are both looking at the installation of solar arrays. In the town of Olive, they're looking at more, floodwater issues. We had one visitor, some of you may know Hugo Jewell, who in his newest capacity as regional rep for the Passive House Alliance of the Northeast, one of the main subjects he brought up that he's brought up in the past is for the legislature to look into some type of high-performance property tax credit. It's been implemented in Baltimore. So essentially, you'd be eligible for tax credits based on your energy performance, and so solar arrays and so on. You'd be, you'd be able to qualify for some type of property tax break on the county level. So we discussed that extensively. There's always some concern about, when you take property taxes from someplace else, you got to make up that, revenue elsewhere. And then also, who is most eligible or capable of, some of these higher costing solar projects versus those who's not. Another thing we discussed was the proposal of the 20-watt megawatt electric generating station being proposed off of the Frank Sotile Boulevard. It was still kind of new at the time. The Freeman article had really just come out, so we just, you know, had a light discussion on that. And that pretty much summarizes the meeting.
Great. Any questions? No? Any other old business or new business?
Yeah, I just want to say I went to the Mid-Hudson Regional Sustainability Coalition, and I brought up, you know, this idea of expanding our energy efficiency and renewable capacity in the county, and the Clean Energy Communities is doing some Energize is doing some, but RUPCO finished their contract. They were doing a lot of home energy audits, and their contract is over. And I don't necessarily feel that what the Clean Energy, which NYSERDA was funding them, and now they're funding the Clean Energy Communities. And I just still feel like somehow we can be doing more. And it's not a criticism of what you guys are doing. You're doing amazing work. But we're in such a crisis that Jonathan and I have talked about, you know, maybe it won't look like this was based on Ann Arbor, the budget amendment that we were proposing for a community energy coordinator. But the other thing that is now a missing is that for a while it looked like Citizens for Local Power and community choice aggregation were going to get involved in energy planning. And they've had to shift their focus because the state, when they structured the community choice aggregation regulations, didn't do it in a way that was going to be cost-effective for them to continue to work on it. So they're doing more organizing around rate cases and grassroots organizing and less working with municipalities, which means that we're back to relying on Central Hudson to do energy planning. And, you know, Central Hudson's done a lot of really good things for this community. They've supported green building and renewable energy forums, and they donate to good causes and all of that. They haven't been proactive in trying to design a transition to a green energy economy. So I'm going to keep pushing, not in any way to disparage the good work that is being done, including the Clean Energy Communities. But that's three people for a whole region. You guys are, you know, two or three, I don't know your whole staff, but for a whole county. And I just, if we weren't in a climate crisis and we weren't watching the world either drown or burn, I wouldn't be pushing on this. But I feel like every county, every region has to do everything they can, and we have to reconsider the triple bottom line, that is, you know, if something is not immediately cost-effective, is it cost-effective in the long run? And is it avoiding problems that are not, you know, what do they say, to try to internalize the externalities, health costs or environmental damage? Is there a way to get that, to give that value, even if it's not a dollar value? And so I just, you know, we'll be trying to figure out the best way. We want to include you and include the people in Public Works in designing these systems. And the other thing, just to remind folks, that is, we're trying to work out is that in Public Works a checklist, so we don't have to, I don't have to say, okay, resolution 495 fleet policy, for the buses, did we check that this is consistent with the fleet policy? I want to get to the point where Public Works is telling us this is why we made that decision, that kind of thing. So it's just, you know, we're all in this together. And it's in my mind a lot because somehow we didn't do it right this year, and it's the need is still there. And I just want to figure out, you know, collectively how we can move forward, mainly to help our businesses, but also to fill some of those other gaps in terms of sound energy planning. And I know that your focus is the county buildings and the county fleet and the county infrastructure. That's naturally your focus. But how do we meet, you know, the bigger needs of the county? So thanks for bearing with me. I just am a little bit obsessed with this because it's, you know, it's always been important to me, but after seeing the intense hurricanes and the fires that just seem endless, I feel like we have to ramp this up somehow, but let's do it in a collective way where we're all working together.
Thank you. Does anybody have anything else? I would just like to say it's been a pleasure serving on the committee with everyone, and this is our last meeting of this year, and I wish everybody well, and thank you. And do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion. Second.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, and it is 6:10. We're going to...